عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before I begin the Quranic recitation, I also request you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the soul of the Honorable Hajj Hassan Yasai and his Honorable wife, and also Hajj Khanum Asmat Ziya Fatemi Rafati Al-Fatiha Ma Salawat. Surat Hud, Ayah 12, 13, and 14. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلعلك تارك بعض ما يوحى إليك وضائق به صدرك أن يقولوا لولا أنزل عليه كنز أو جاء معه ملك إنما أنت نذير والله على كل شيء وكيل أم يقولون افتراه قل فأتوا بعشر سور مثله مفتريات وادعوا من استطعتم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين فإن لم يستجيبوا لكم فاعلموا أنما أنزل بعلم الله وأن لا إله إلا هو فهل أنتم مسلمون صدق الله العلي العظيم. People who have logic and they incorporate logic and aql and reason in their life is going to be satisfying, their life is going to be smooth, their life is going to be in order. Unlike those who do not incorporate reason, those who do not utilize reason, they do not want to be reasonable, they do not want to be logical in their life is going to turn into anarchy. They would not find stability in their life. Even though they have wealth, even though they have influence, even though they have power, their life is going to turn into an anarchy. The biggest gift that God endowed on humanity is aql, is reason. And it is through aql, it is only through aql we're going to make it to paradise. Through reason, we're going to make it to paradise. If you make it to paradise, you have to know that you made it through your reason. When the Prophet came to this society of pagans who worshipped idols, and he was inviting them to stop worshipping, wasting their time and their energy, and direct and channel their energy into something productive, something useful, something that earns them dignity, respect. They refused. For several reasons they refused. They refused because of their arrogance. Quraysh, probably, if we read the history of Arabia before Islam and even after Islam, Quraysh was the most arrogant tribe, the most arrogant family in Arabia. Why? Because they thought that people need them, they don't need people. One reason a person becomes arrogant when he thinks that people need him, but he does not need people. He thinks that he becomes self-sufficient. As soon as man believes that he's self-sufficient, he has wealth, he has influence, he has power, then he starts disrespecting others, manipulating the truth, and he becomes arrogant. And this is the reason why Quraysh was arrogant, because people used to go to Mecca before Islam to worship. Their house there is ancient in Mecca. And many tribes from Arabia, sometimes from outside Arabia, they would go there to worship. And once they worship, they stay there for a while, and they engage in business. And the economy was strong in Mecca. So they thought that people need them, in need to their power, to their presence. They became arrogant. So when the Prophet invited them to worship God, they rejected him. They did not use logic. They did not use their brain. Why? Because when someone becomes arrogant, arrogance is part of emotions. And these emotions are going to overcome his brain, his reason. So he says something which is inappropriate. He does something which is inappropriate. He sends tweets sometimes that are inappropriate, because he's not going to think rationally. He's not going to think logically. He's overcome by his emotions. Quraysh said to the Prophet, We don't accept you. Or if you want us to accept you, then let's God send a treasure from the sky with you. Treasure full of gold, silver, gold, so you give us a proof that you are a legitimate messenger of God. Ask your Lord. You are telling us that my Lord is able to do everything and anything. So if he's able, let him send a kenz. Kenz means a treasure. So show us that this comes from God. Because we cannot believe in someone who's, you know, barefoot, who doesn't have money. We don't buy you. We don't even respect you. This is also part of arrogance. Arrogance tells the person who's afflicted with it that you only respect those who have wealth and influence. If someone does not have wealth, don't look at him, don't consider him, don't even respect him. So they said to him, bring us kenz. Beside the kenz, the treasure that your Lord must send with you, We need to see with you angels supporting you also. Angels, they come down from the sky and they walk with you. So we accept you as a legitimate messenger. Of course, these demands were not realistic. And they knew they are not realistic. They knew that God would not bring down Ken's treasure from the sky. God says, I gave you brain and ability and health, and I want you to use your health, your brain, into making money. I'm not going to send money. You know, God does not have an engraving and a printing department like the one we have in Washington. He does not print, you know, American dollars or euros or, you know, these currencies. He says, I've done this already for you. I've given you brain. I've given you the earth, the resources here, the talent. Go and work. You work, you make money. You don't work, you are lazy, you don't make money. Never, never, ever God sent Ken's a treasure from the sky upon anyone. Never. He never did that. God provided us with tools. With tools. With a way. With encouragement. He says, go after it. You make it. So they knew, Quraysh, they knew that their demands are unrealistic. But why they insisted on them? To make fun of the Prophet. They were sarcastic. They were not real in their demands. They were sarcastic. The Quran says in Surah Hud, number 12, فَلَعَلَّكَ تَارِكُمْ بَعْضَ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ أَنْ يَقُولُوا لَوْلَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ كَنْزٌ أَوْ جَاءَ مَعَهُ مَلَكٌ. God says, Ya Rasulullah, perchance, listen to this carefully, perchance you might give up some of what we have revealed to you. You might give up some of what we have revealed to you, and your chest might be constrained, ضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكُ, stressed out. Your chest might be constrained because of what they say, because of their unrealistic demands. Their demands were unrealistic. Now, did the Prophet, did he really try to give up his job? No, he didn't. He didn't, because the Prophet from day one, He knew his job prescription, his job description. He knew it very well. He knew the challenges. God told him about the challenges, and he was ready to face these challenges. So this does not mean that he's going to give up. لَعَلَّكَ تَارِكٌ, perchance you're going to give up, does not mean he was going to give up. Then what does it mean? God is speaking to the Prophet here, not in his capacity as a prophet. He's addressing him as a human being, normal, average human being. God is speaking here about the nature of the job, not the Prophet himself. God is trying to say, if Muhammad was someone normal, an average person, he would have broke. He would have broken under these difficult circumstances. He could not survive. He would have either crashed or quit his job, because the pressure was enormous on him. Daily pressure by Quraysh. Daily psychological pressure. Sometimes a person sustains physical pressure. Someone who is a worker, he works a lot, but he still can survive. But when it comes to psychological pressure, many people collapse. They can't take it. They can't take it. So Allah says, if Prophet Muhammad was an average human being, طبيعي, he's average, he would have collapsed because of this pressure on him every single day. They make fun of him. He goes to the street to invite them. He speaks nice and good. They speak bad and evil. They return his goodness with evil. They are sarcastic. They ask him for things that are unrealistic. They bring excuses. Bring us an angel, bring us wealth, bring us this, or put us ladders so we can see the Lord. We can go up and look at your Lord. These things are unrealistic. So under these circumstances, had the prophet been an average human being, he would have collapsed. But because he's not an average human being, he is a human, but God has endowed him with superpower. Super spiritual power. People are different in their spirituality. Some of them, they have no spirituality. All what they think about is materialism, dunya, obsessed with the dunya. In their heart, there is nothing but attachment and obsession with the dunya. All what they think about, all what they speak about is dunya, 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 dunya. Money, 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 money. They left no room for spiritual growth. Such people are like animals. But others are humans. Humans, they take what they need, what is necessary for their dunya to survive. They take. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. God says, definitely, you have to take your share of your dunya. You have to have a house. You have to have food. You have to have clothing. You have to have health care. You have to have a transportation. But don't be obsessed with the dunya. These are vehicles. These are not ends. The house, the car, the food, the money, these are not the end. These are the means to get you to the end. What is the end? The end is to get closer to God. Once you get closer to God, you become the most powerful. You become the most dignified. You become the most responsible. You don't waste your time anymore. You don't waste your energy anymore. Because you are close to God. So the Quran is speaking to the Prophet in his capacity as, he's saying, if Muhammad was an average human being like you, he would have quit his job. But he doesn't do that because he's ma'soom and he knows what he's doing. Now, some of the tafasir, they say, the Prophet, when God sent him warning to convey to Quraysh, to the polytheist, he will delay the delivery. Why he delays the delivery? Because he knows Quraysh are not going to believe in him. Because he knows he's going to be rejected. So he would not go immediately to them to deliver the message. God said to him, I want you to go to them immediately, even though you know they're going to reject you. Even though you know they're going to reject you, still your job is to go and deliver. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. You are nadhir. You are a warner. You are a messenger. You deliver the message. Your job is just to deliver the message. Whether they accept or reject, leave it to me. I'm responsible for that. Here in this life, we have people that they say, we don't speak to our kids. We don't speak to our family members. We don't speak to our friend because there is no point. There is no point in speaking to my son. There is no point in speaking to my brother. There is no point speaking to my neighbor, to my friend. There is no point. I boycotted my family because I don't speak to them, because they don't listen. This is not good. You should not boycott them. Your job is to deliver. Now, whether they accept or reject, leave it to God. This is not my job. Whether they succeed or fail, this is not my responsibility anymore. My responsibility is to reach out. God says to the Prophet, your job is to reach out. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ. Leave the rest for God. God will decide whether they are worthy of accepting it or not worthy. This is something that belongs to God. But you should not give up your job just because you think people are not going to believe in you. You should not do that. You should not do that. You should continue your mission. Continue working and leave the rest with God. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ. God is the guardian. You are not the guardian. The Prophet was not the guardian. The Prophet was a warner, مُبَلِّغ, preacher. The real guardian is God. The real guardian, the real judge is God. It's not the Prophet. Now, there is something interesting in this verse, in the beginning. وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ. وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ. We know that your chest is being constrained. What does that mean? Constrained means the tightness. Do you feel sometimes the tightness in your chest, when you are unhappy, when you are stressed out, when something is bothering you, when you receive bad news, when you are rejected, when you are abused, when someone did not listen to you, you feel this tightness in your chest. Imagine the Prophet was a human being. He had emotions. When people keep rejecting him for 13 years, not 1 or 2 years, 13 years, he comes back home. He has only few people who accepted him. Only few, handful, no more. Definitely he feels the tightness here. وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ. And this is true with every good believer in this life. Every person of good conscience in this life, when he sees wrongdoings, injustice, anywhere in the world, not just against him. If he sees injustice against his community, his country, or the people of earth, in Islam, the people of your country are the people of earth. All people are your brothers and sisters. Even if they don't carry the same nationality, even if they don't speak the same language, they are your brothers and sisters. They are your family members. We come from one source. Literally from one source. From one father and one mother. Adam and Eve. They are our parents. So when we see something happening somewhere, we see starvation. We see epidemic. We see cholera. We see people don't have food to give to their children. Their children are dying right before their eyes. We see this on television every day. Of course, you would not be happy about that. You would not be happy. When you see injustice and oppression, you would not feel happy. This is the character of the good believer. You feel the pain of others. And this is exactly how the Prophet felt. وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ. وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ. Now, again, we see another thing in this. When they tell him, we need you to show a proof of your leadership, of you being the Prophet of God, show us a proof. What is the proof? You know what they asked for? They asked for something material. Bring us kens, money. Bring us Malak, angel to walk with you. They did not tell him, bring us the truth. Show us the book. He is showing them the book. The biggest cans and the treasure was the book. They neglected the real wealth, and they were asking for the material one, for the fake one. And that tells you people from day one, they were running after dunya, not just now. This is not a new story. From day one, people were fascinated by materialism, by this lower life. From day one. People were fascinated by wealth, by prestige, by extravagant life. And they would respect that. And if someone does not have wealth or prestige or influence or social status, they outcast him. They disrespect him. This is from day one. The story from day one to the last day. People are fascinated with fake things, not real things. God says to the prophet, we've sent them the book. If they are asking for a proof, real proof, let them listen to you. Let them allow themselves just to listen to you for a few minutes. They will find the truth. But they don't want the real truth. They don't want. They are thinking of materialism. Bring us money, show us you have money, we will follow you. This is life. This is real people. In every era, in every time, in every place, this is how people think. If you have wealth, then you are speaking the truth. If you don't have wealth, then don't open your mouth. Don't try to convince me, because you don't have wealth. You don't have men who are supporting you. This is how people think. You know this, dunya, with everything that God has given us, we should turn this into paradise. But it's not paradise. Now this dunya is Jahannam. Why? Because we misuse it. We don't respect it. Allah says, I have subjugated, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heaven and the earth, I made it available for you. So you use it for your betterment, for your advancement, to bring compassion and mercy and love and cooperation among you. But your attachment to materialism does not allow you to do that. I was watching the news today. Some of these news are very funny. You know, the Gulf countries, they established a council called the Council of Cooperation of the Gulf. They call it Al-Khalij Al-Arabi, the Arabian Gulf. They even changed the facts. If you look at all maps, it's Persian Gulf, but they made it into Arabian Gulf. They have a conference in Kuwait on Tuesday. And because of the inner fighting that they have among them between Saudi Arabia and Qatar, Saudi Arabia and Emirat on the one hand and Qatar on the other hand, today some commentators, they said they are not ready to get together under one roof. They are not ready. But yet Saudi Arabia says we have to reach out to Israel. Saudi Arabia is not ready to sit with Qatar and other countries, with its neighbors, but it is ready to go too far to meet with Israel and begin a relationship, normalization of their diplomatic ties. Can you imagine this? Is this real politics? Is this real diplomacy? Is this the thinking of someone who has aql and reason, or someone who has arrogance? Because of arrogance. If you can't fix your relationship with next door neighbor, how can you fix your relationship with someone who's 200 house on the other side? You can't do that. You have to begin with someone who's close to you. Someone who shares religion with you, language with you, culture with you. First go and fix your relationship here, then reach out to others. But because it's all hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. The other day someone asked me, why God does not allow people to elect the prophets and the messengers and the imams democratically? So rather than God sending Moses and Jesus and Abraham, he will come to the community and he tell them, listen, you elect someone among you. I said to him, listen, in one of the biggest democracies in the world, which is the United States of America, God gave them freedom to choose a president and see what they chose. See for yourself. 60 million people, see what they chose. This is in a democracy, imagine. Democracy, transparency, free elections in this country. And see what they did. When God gave them freedom, freedom of choice, see what they did. This is why God says, when it comes to leadership, I know what to do. If it comes to prophet and imam or khalifa, inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. I can't trust people. Why? Because the majority of the people, when they divert from truth, they become what? Wa aktharuhum lil haqqi karihun. Most of them, they loathe. They loathe truth and justice. They loathe it. They don't like it. They don't stick to it. So I can't trust them with the leadership. I have to choose the prophets, and after the prophets, the imams, I have to choose them. And when I choose the best, because I am not biased. I am not racist. I am the God of all. The God of white, black, poor, rich, Chinese, Arabs, Iranians, Hindus, Indians. I am the God of the universe. I have no prejudice. I know who to choose for this business, for leadership, universal leadership. فَلَعَلَّكَ تَارِكُمْ بَعْضَ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ أَنْ يَقُولُوا لَوْلَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ كَنْزٌ أَوْ جَاءَ مَعَهُ مَلَكٌ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ. Your job is just a warner. وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ. God is the real guardian. In another verse, Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. O Muhammad, your job is balagh. Balagh is to deliver the message. Balagh. From tabligh. Balagh, tabligh, ballagh. Okay. Wa alayna al-hisab. Leave the rest upon me. The accounting or the judgment. Hisab is judgment. Leave it to me. I will judge. Your job is just to deliver. Go and deliver. Then Allah says, I conclude here. وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ. No, it's not this one. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ. They say to you, we know that they say that he has fabricated the book. The book is not his book. The book is not God's book. The book is his book. He fabricated it. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ. They say you fabricated the book. قُلْ. Okay. If I have fabricated the book, and I'm a human like you, and I come from the same neighborhood, I speak the same language, I want you to bring me 10 verses. This book has 114 verses. You can make 10 verses similar to this book. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. If I can fabricate 114, if you gather, you can fabricate like me 10 chapters like this. Okay? Go ahead. وَادْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ. And bring all people, let them help you. All, you know, literary people, those who are experts in language, in grammar, in literature, the poets, invite them, let them help you. وَادْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are true, then make something like it. Go and make. If you think that I made it, it's not God's word, then go ahead and do something similar. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ. Quran says definitely they cannot respond to you. When you challenge them, when you tell them, bring me something like this book, they cannot answer you. They have no answer for that. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ. Then you have to know that this book, when people could not bring a chapter like it or a verse, then this is the work of God, the unique work of God. فاعلموا أنما أنزل بعلم الله وأن لا إله إلا هو فهل أنتم مسلمون. And there is no Lord other than God. So would you accept God and surrender to Him or not? I concluded ayah number 14. Two words before I leave. The anniversary of Haj Hassan Yasai rahmatullahi alayhi, a noble man who left a good legacy. Sometimes there are some parents who leave wealth for their children. Sometimes parents leave leadership, government, especially in the Muslim countries, mashallah. The father goes, his son comes after him. The son rules for 40 years, the grandson comes. The grandson goes, you know. It's like the monarchy in England, in London. Some people go, leave ilm, knowledge, books for their children, which is good. But others, when they leave this life, they leave a legacy of manners and humanity, akhlaq and insaniya, to their families, to their children. This is the best legacy. Maybe in this country, your children, if they graduate from a good school, they can make a good income, good earning. If they go to school, good school, they can make good money. Double digit, triple digit salary. So you don't worry about their financial affairs. You don't worry whether they're going to stay in the street homeless, they have no food, no shelter. But something else you have to worry about. Their morality, their manners, their journey in this life. Many people, they made money. They made good money, but they did not follow the right direction in this life. They went into the wrong direction. They made money, that money, rather than becoming a source of a blessing for them, it became a source of curse and damnation. We've seen this in many, many societies. So try to raise good children and instill in them good qualities. A father is a teacher, my friends. A father, not just a breadwinner. A father is a teacher, is a mentor, muallim, murabbi, a nurturer. When you sit with your children every single day, you have to sit at least one time with your children. Don't tell me I'm busy, I'm running, I have no time. If you have no time for your children, then for whom are you going to make the time? Your children are more important than others. So when you sit with them, with the food that you give them, you have to give them mental food, spiritual food, moral food too. You have to teach them the akhlaq, the manners. Once you teach them the akhlaq, you don't worry about their future. Believe me, you don't worry. Do your job and leave the rest with God. This is exactly what God said to the Prophet. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. You do your job, deliver good, leave the rest with me. Don't worry about them. We must raise leaders, not just sons and daughters, leaders here on earth. This is the legacy that we have to leave behind. Our family, our children are leaders. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us leaders. Not political leaders, no. Spiritual leaders. Moral, ethical leaders. Every father is an ethical leader. Every mother is an ethical leader. This is the legacy that we can tap on after our death. Because our staying here is limited. It's limited. It's not forever. We have been given limited visa in this life. This visa is going to expire. And once it is expired, you cannot say, God, can you extend this one more year, two more years, five? He says, no, because I already gave you 50 years, 70, 80 years. So our staying is limited here. We have limited time. Spend your energy. If you have energy, spend it on raising good family. This is the investment that you are not going to regret, believe me. Every other investment, it might entail some loss. Accept this. When you raise good family, there is no loss in that. There is nothing but gain and nothing but profit. Allahumma akhbar al-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat. والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير. A lady, she wants us to recite Amman Yujib. So please, let's, I don't mention her name, but an honorable lady. So let's recite Amman Yujib al-Muftar for her and other people who are in need for Allah's help. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات and to the departed soul of Haj Hassan Yasai and Haj Khanum اسمت زيافتي رفعتي الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد